Lesson 47. 47th lesson. Part 1. Doctor, dentist, and chemist.
If you have toothache, you should go to your dentist. He'll examine your teeth, and if the aching tooth is not too far gone, he'll stop it. If it's too bad, he'll take it out.
If you don't feel well, you should consult a doctor. If you feel too ill to go to the doctor's, you'll have to send for him. He'll ask you to describe to him the symptoms of your illness. Then he'll feel your pulse, look at your tongue, and examine you thoroughly. Finally, he'll prescribe the treatment and write out a prescription.
Doctor's prescriptions are made up by a chemist. At chemist shops, you can also get patent medicines of all kinds. Lotions, tonics, cough mixtures, baby foods, aspirin, pills, ointment, bandages, adhesive plaster, and so on. You can buy razors and razor blades, vacuum flasks, hot water bottles, sponges, toothbrushes and toothpastes, powder puffs, lipsticks, shaving soap and shaving brushes, and 101 other things.
If you're interested in photography, you can also get cameras and films at most chemists. They'll develop and print your films for you too. Some chemists are also qualified opticians, and if your eyesight's faulty, they'll test your eyes and prescribe glasses for you.
Part 2. A visit to the doctor.
Well, what's the matter with you, Mr. Walker?
You'd better ask me what is not the matter with me, Doctor. I seem to be suffering from all the illnesses imaginable. Insomnia, headaches, backache, indigestion, constipation, and pains in the stomach. To make things still worse, I've caught a cold, I've got a sore throat, and I'm constantly sneezing and coughing. To crown it all, I had an accident the other day, hurt my right shoulder, leg, and knee, and nearly broke my neck. If I take a long walk, I get short of breath. In fact, I feel more dead than alive.
I'm sorry to hear that. Anyhow, I hope things aren't as bad as you imagine. Let me examine you. Your heart, chest, and lungs seem to be all right. Now, open your mouth and show me your tongue. Now, breathe in deeply through the nose. There doesn't seem to be anything radically wrong with you, but it's quite clear that you're run down, and if you don't take care of yourself, you may have a nervous breakdown and have to go to hospital. I advise you, first of all, to stop worrying. Take a long rest. Have regular meals. Keep to a diet of salads and fruit and very little meat. Keep off alcohol. If possible, give up smoking, at least for a time. Have this tonic made up and take 2 tablespoonfuls 3 times a day before meals. If you do this, I can promise you full recovery within 2 or 3 months.
And if I don't, Doctor?
Then you'd better make your will, if you haven't yet done so.
I see. Well, thank you, Doctor. I shall have to think it over and decide which is the lesser evil, to follow your advice or prepare for a better world. Lesson 48. 48th lesson, part 1. Radio and television.
Of all the discoveries ever made by man, radio or wireless is one of the most wonderful. By means of wireless, you can speak to a man on the other side of the world. Seated comfortably in your own home, you can hear music or talks broadcast thousands of miles away from you. Talks on national and international affairs, on science, history, and other educational subjects. I listen to the wireless almost every evening. Mine is an 8-valve set with an outdoor aerial, which gives splendid results. It has medium, long, and short wavelengths, and it's quite simple to manipulate. All I have to do is to turn a knob or push a button to tune in to the station I require. I use my set a good deal for keeping up my foreign languages. I find it a very useful addition to my Linguaphone course. For English, I tune to England, for French to France, for Dutch to Holland, for German to Germany or Austria, for Russian to Russia, for Spanish to Spain, and for Italian to Italy. More marvelous even than radio is television, which enables us not only to listen to talks, plays and concerts, but also to see what's going on. Who knows what the future may bring? It's possible that some clever scientist will invent an apparatus which will enable us to read other people's thoughts. Should that happen, some people might feel quite uncomfortable. Part 2. Broadcast programs.
Well, how's your set going?
Oh, not too badly. Though I've had some difficulty lately in getting good reception from the more distant stations.
Yes, I've noticed quite a lot of interference on my own set, too. I suppose it's the weather.
Of course, mine's rather an old-fashioned model compared to yours. By the way, did you hear Carmen the other night?
Yes, I did. Personally, I'm not very keen on opera, but my wife is, and Carmen happens to be one of her favourites, so I didn't like to suggest switching to another station. Fortunately for me, it was a translated version. I'm not good at languages, you know.
What kind of programme do you like best, then?
Oh, I like a straight play. I find some of the talks very interesting, too, and I never miss the sporting events. I got most excited over the international rugger match last Saturday. You listen to the English stations a good deal, don't you?
Yes, I like their programmes very much, and I understand nearly everything. With all the practice in ear training I've had, English pronunciation and intonation hold no terrors for me now. And if a speaker uses a word I'm not familiar with, the context usually gives the clue to the meaning.
You're lucky. You know English. I wish I had your gift for languages.
Well, I don't think I should call it a gift. Anyone who's prepared to take a little trouble can do the same. Where there's a will, there's a way, you know.
Lesson 49. 49th lesson. Part 1. Theatres, music halls, and cinemas.
Theatres are very much the same in London as anywhere else. The chief theatres, music halls and cinemas are in the West End. If you're staying in London for a few days, you'll have no difficulty whatever in finding somewhere to spend an enjoyable evening. You'll find opera, ballet, comedy, drama, revue, musical comedy and variety. Films are shown in the cinemas during the greater part of the day.
The best seats at theatres are those in the stalls, the circle and the upper circle. Then comes the pit, and last of all the gallery, where the seats are cheapest. Boxes, of course, are the most expensive. Most theatres and music halls have good orchestras with popular conductors. You ought to make a point of going to the opera at least once during the season, if you can. There you can get the best of everything. An excellent orchestra, famous conductors, celebrated singers, and a well-dressed audience. But of course, if you're not fond of music and singing, opera won't interest you.
At the West End theatres, you can see most of the famous English actors and actresses. As a rule, the plays are magnificently staged, costumes, dresses, scenery, everything being done on the most lavish scale. Choose a good play and you'll enjoy yourself thoroughly from the moment the curtain goes up to the end of the last act. Get your seat beforehand, either at the box office of the theatre itself or at one of the agencies. When you go to a theatre, you'll probably want to sit as near to the stage as possible. But if you're at a cinema, you may prefer to sit some distance from the screen. In fact, I would say the further away, the better.
Part 2. At the theatre.
Have you got any seats for tomorrow?
Matinee or evening performance?
Matinee, please. I want two stalls if you've got them.
Yes, you can have two in the middle of row F.
That'll do very well, thank you. How much is that?
They're 13 and 6 each. That makes 27 shillings.
Stalls, sir? Stalls on the right. Gentlemen's cloakroom this way. Ladies' cloakroom on the first landing. Show your tickets to the attendant inside the theatre. She'll show you to your seats and let you have a programme.
May I see your tickets, please? Row F, 12 and 13. This way, please. Would you like a programme?
Yes, please.
Shall I bring you some tea, sir? The play isn't over till 5:30.
When do you serve tea?
After the second act. There's an interval of 15 minutes.
Then I think we might as well have some. Well, what did you think of the play?
I enjoyed every minute of it. What did you think of it?
I thought it was splendid. I hadn't laughed so much for a long time.
Neither have I. It was extremely good.
Yes, wasn't it? I thought the acting was excellent.
So did I. The whole thing was first rate from beginning to end. Lesson 50. 50th lesson. A few words about English literature.
The great wealth of English literature makes it impossible to deal with the subject in any detail within the scope of one short lesson. We must therefore confine ourselves to only a few of the outstanding writers. Who has not heard, for instance, of William Shakespeare, one of the greatest dramatists of all time? He's famous for his comedies, such as Twelfth Night, As You Like It, and The Taming of the Shrew, and equally famous for his magnificent tragedies, such as Macbeth, Hamlet, and Othello. Shakespeare lived in the reign of Queen Elizabeth, which was a great age for English literature.
Of later plays, there's She Stoops to Conquer by Oliver Goldsmith, and The School for Scandal by Richard Sheridan. Then, coming to the present day, we have the brilliant dramas of the Irish author Bernard Shaw. Possibly his best-known plays are Caesar and Cleopatra, Man and Superman, Back to Methuselah, and St. Joan.
The works of English novelists have been translated into so many languages that millions of people who know no English are nevertheless familiar with English writings. Yet it's only those who are able to read these novels in the original who can really appreciate such masterpieces as Waverley and Ivanhoe by Walter Scott, or Oliver Twist, David Copperfield, and The Old Curiosity Shop by Charles Dickens.
English poetry covers such a wide field that we can do little more than enumerate a few names. Chaucer is well known for his Canterbury Tales. Milton for his two famous epics, Paradise Lost and Paradise Regained. Pope for his mastery of the classical style. While the Romantic school recalls such famous names as Wordsworth, Byron, Shelley, Keats, Tennyson and Browning. You're now to hear a poem by Wordsworth that will not only inspire you with its beauty, but also encourage you to delve more deeply into the rich heritage of our literature, whether it be prose or verse.
Upon Westminster Bridge. Earth has not anything to show more fair. Dull would he be of soul, who could pass by a sight so touching in its majesty. This city now doth like a garment wear the beauty of the morning, silent, bare. Ships, towers, domes, theatres, and temples lie open unto the fields and to the sky, all bright and glittering in the smokeless air. Never did sun more beautifully steep in his first splendour valley, rock, or hill. Ne'er saw I, never felt a calm so deep. The river glideth at his own sweet will. Dear God, the very houses seem asleep, and all that mighty heart is lying still.